Michael Alasso, you're an actor, a professional producer, you're a coach, you've been a pro, you're in the business, you've seen success, and I've got an idea I want to run by you. You got a minute?
Sure.
Well, I'm drafting a treatment, that's movie talk for an idea or a script, right? For a movie. And the movie has got, in this cast, it's got a boss, and it's got a marketing department, and it's all the good cliche stuff, right? You know, the boss comes in with a big problem they've got to solve. It's going to make or break the business. And I'm thinking the scene looks like this. There's bean bags, there's a whiteboard, there's some colorful stuff, music, there's, you know, all the hip, cool stuff there. And one coworker says to the other, yeah, we got to think big, you know, blue sky thinking. That's what we got to do. And the boss replies, yeah, you know, you really got to think outside the box on this one. What do you think about this script so far?
Well, I don't know where I'm going, but I do know where I've been. So, Sean Doyle, let me tell you, don't you ever box me in. Oh, Sean Doyle, you are so cool and refined. With your cool movie script idea, together we'll be aligned.
Hey. You know, don't ask Michael Alasso a question unless you want a song and an answer. I think, Michael, it's a scene we see in movies and TV all the time, and it's garbage advice for business leaders. So I'm Sean Doyle. I'm hosting Aligned. We're the podcast for business executives who want to do better, to find unexpected levers to pull in the pursuit of improved revenue. So I work at Fitzmartin. We work with senior executives working on this growth and other change initiatives. And Michael, you help the same group, no? I'd like to introduce you. Yeah. So Michael is a master communications expert. He's a top-rated speaker. In fact, I think you've won some significant lifetime achievement awards from a group called Vistage, which is impressive. That's a tough crowd. I won't tell you what my Vistage scores were, even with your coaching. I'm just not at your level, Michael, just not there. So, Michael, in your job, you coach CEOs. I've been part of an executive team where you came in and coached the team. You help people with their individual day-to-day communications, dynamic presentations. You're a corporate speaker, a keynote speaker. What do you not do?
I've been horrible with dishes until COVID. And then during COVID, I had 59 weeks of lockdown. Because remember, I live in New England. We really had COVID here. And so
You're saying you're better than the rest of us, are you?
Well,
I see.
Overachiever. Because I didn't start traveling again until April 29th. And my first spot was Sioux Falls, South Dakota. No COVID there. People hugging me. And Birmingham, Alabama was one of my stops in the last 30 days. No COVID there. No masks. Dallas, Texas. Atlanta, Georgia. No masks. Portland, Oregon was much more like New England. There was COVID there. And so it's kind of, it is, you talk about not boxing me in. To really get out on the road again and be with people has been so wonderful. It's been such a blessing. It's just the client I had. One client before you today, and it's a president of a mortgage company in Atlanta. And he's one of the few clients, Sean, that I meet with every week. We meet every week for an hour faithfully, and we've been doing that for quite a long time. And we've been working on leadership and communication. He's now segueing into doing more formal speaking. And it was like the perfect prologue to our discussion today. He has so many wonderful ideas and they're sparkly. Mm. And what we did today in our 60 minutes was we gave them some structure. And he responded so favorably. He's super smart, but he took the structure and it actually made him more creative. And that's what I believe structure does.
So you said in one of your secret weapon podcast emails, no, not podcast, is it? It's an email. You said something about structure liberates creativity. So I think what you're saying is within boundaries that works, but that's polar opposite of what we think of, what executives think of when it comes to especially those marketing and sales guys. We want to give them blue skies, right? We want to open up the windows. We want to tell them to think outside the box, which is one of the most overused phrases I think I've ever heard. And it, if you understand, it makes no sense. I need a box. Good creativity to solve business problems needs a box to work. Otherwise, where do you go? You're directionless. So tell me about, I know, this is a leading question, Michael. You told me a story once about being on in the cast of a Pink Panther movie. And you said, you know, we had something to the effect of, you had a script and then you started working with Steve Martin. And what happened? It's a brilliant story.
Steve Martin not only was starring in the film, but he produced it. And even though there was a director, the hierarchy of films, when Steve Martin's on the film, there's no one who's going to be higher on the rung than Steve Martin. So the director was a Brit and he was very gracious and very, very nice to us all. But when Steve had an idea, that was the idea. So this was I play the maitre d' of the restaurant, Inspector Clouseau burns down twice. I play this snotty, tight-butted effete guy. And so when you see the film, I'm in three scenes. And people think, oh, man, like anybody could do that. I had 5 callbacks for this role. This is a Screen Actors Guild principal role. When you see the film, you'll see why that's ironic. And I had my own trailer. So I went back 5 times for the callback. So I went, you go and you sit in a room with a bunch of people who look just like you. And you say, all right, how are they going to choose between any of us? You know, there's dozens of us.
Well, everybody's got talent. At that level, everybody's good.
That is correct. And so you go in and they make you do things and then they give you a structure. Here's the scene. Do whatever you want. Here's the structure of the scene. So the best directors, the best casting directors really give you a very specific structure. The weakest ones say, oh, well, say something funny as if, and then like you can't perform without lack of structure. So they called me back. They said, director loves you, sent the tape. Can you come back and do it in Italian, as an Italian? I said, sure. I went back, Sean, did it Italian, left. They called me, director loves you. They want to see you again. Can you do it French? And I said, yeah, I can do it French. So I went back. They did French, called me, director loves you. Can you do it gay? And I said, yeah, I can do gay. Yeah, I can be gay. So I went and did it. They called me one more time and they said, can you be less gay? And so I went, did it one more time, whatever that means. I have no, Sean, to this idea, to this day, I went on the set. I asked the dialect coach, am I French, Italian, gay, straight? What? She said, I'll be damned if I know. Just do whatever it is that you're doing. So I never really knew whether I was French, Italian, gay, straight. But I knew all of those were kind of possible. And so I created my own concoction from that. They sent me the script. Steve Martin changed what I had to say and do, not every day, Sean, but every take. We'd do a take and he'd change it up. Now, if I had said to him, but Mr. Martin, it said in my script that I learned at home, you know, I'd be Sean at home. They'd find some other loser to play the role. Yeah. It's structure. And I loved your opening about, you know, CEOs that's counterintuitive. You know, structure is not memorization. Structure, that's a piece of structure. That's a tiny piece of structure. And that's a mistake I think people make. They memorize and they think they've that is only a tiny, tiny fraction of what structure is.
Yeah, I think boundaries as guidelines, in your case, maybe the script was the boundary, the director was a boundary, the other actor was a boundary.
Yes, and yes, and yes.
Yeah, you had to work within that and understand that the script is going to change based on the most powerful person in the room, right? So that's okay. So boundaries are guidelines and limits that you can work within them. If you didn't know the script or didn't know who to pay attention to on set and didn't understand the nuance, and anybody who's not been on a set, when Michael is saying Steve Martin wasn't the director, but he could lead and guide the set, that's a radical comment. That's like a corporal leading the general. I mean, that doesn't happen on a set. So what you've got to understand, there's sometimes a dynamic that's different than the boundaries that all of our lives or professional lives have been set up with. So as an executive, you know, you've got to give boundaries and limits. And I think most executives are going, yeah, sure. Well, this is not news, right? There's government regulatory limits. There's economic engine limits. There's cash reserves. There's ideas. There's the talent I've got. There's competition. There's the cash flow. There's all these things. Well, those are the boundaries that a good marketing department needs to solve the problem. So to say, hey, the competitor's got a new product, we got to get out there, got to do something. Well, you've got to give these boundaries, you know, and emotionally, there's a boundary, material, time, energy, physical boundaries, mental boundaries, time can be a boundary. Good grief, time can be a boundary, right? So coming out of this last year, we all had a time boundary. Hey, Michael, by the way, next month, you can't do what you do 4 days a week. What are you going to do now? That's a boundary, right? So that's a great boundary. So
I loved that boundary. It motivates me to be excellent. So it's Sean, people were calling me at the beginning in March 2020 saying, you know, I've been to the Super Bowl in person and I've seen it on TV. It's much better in person. So I think we're going to cancel you till you can show up. Well, you know me, smoke came out of my nose at that point. You think that me with my film, TV background, my speaker background, this was like a perfect storm. Like God made this moment for me to relook at myself. So the structure of having to sit in the chair, look at a screen and make happen what I make happen so that people walk away from the screen with a minimum of 2 ways to upgrade the way they communicate and lead. That was the structure. So yep. It was liberating. That structure, it couldn't have been more boundary full. And that really created You and Your Best Zoom Day. My program's called You and Your Best Day. Now it's You and Your Best Zoom Day. Now I have a whole other program that I can do. And as I transitioned back to in-person, it made my in-person program better. Because the reality is now that we're going to be a hybrid culture for probably into eternity, at least for our lifetime, Sean.
Shameless. Oh, absolutely. Shameless plug. But where do I get this stuff from you? Do you offer some great content and it's free and it's online? And how would you tell somebody to get this information from you?
Thanks, brother. That's generous of you, Sean. Yep. MichaelAlasso.com. If you go to my website, my program's called You and Your Best Day. You can either Google You and Your Best Day or Michael Alasso, A-L-L-O-S-S-O. My website is loaded with my 35 secret weapons to help you be you and your best day. So I have 35 items that I think make for a great communicator, great leader. And then I highlight them weekly and I keep the material fluid. So I have an all things digital person and Wendy, she's in San Francisco and she keeps my website fluid. So she has a structure. She has me. I meet with her weekly. That's part of our structure. And she says, all right, what secret weapon are we highlighting this week? And so I pick one. This week we're doing, for example, I'll launch it tomorrow. Your audience will know ahead. It's there. We're doing secret weapon number 18, obstacles, turning obstacles into opportunities. So secret weapon 15, secret weapon 15 is sterling preparation blended with the utmost spontaneity, which is a whole mouthful, but it's what Bill Ball says in his book, A Sense of Direction, Structure Frees Creativity. Mm-hmm. So go to the website. I'm on LinkedIn. I do a Facebook Live every week. She has me on Instagram, TikTok. I thought those things were for kids, Sean, and now she's got me all over it.
Michael, I have not seen you on TikTok. I might. I downloaded it, got absorbed in it, trashed it. I might have to download it again to see you there. You'd be great. You'd be famous. Well, Michael, I spend my days with salespeople, helping executives, help give guidance to their salespeople. And I sat in on one of your Zoom calls for customer-facing people, customer service and sales. And you taught that sales team so much as an online talent. Now we're all online talent. And it was a great investment of time. I've spent my own money with you. So continuing the plug, I found it great. A great use of a day and time. And my wife came and Michael even gave us some free marriage counseling. We just passed 30 years. So no, it was great. So it was a really great idea. Let's go back to the CEOs for a second. You coach CEOs. What guidance do you need to or want to give them around setting boundaries, how to help their team? You know, if boundaries are these guidelines, or rules that can structure a person and give them the ability to solve a problem. And this doesn't have to be a marketing problem. This could be an accounting problem. It could be actually accounting is a great example. A lot of boundaries in accounting, but it could be something on a plant floor. It could be something a professional services person deals with, or it could be a business development, customer service problem, all kinds of different applications to this. And then if you'll allow me, I want to share a closing story that I think is pretty profound.
Yes, sir. The biggest advice that I could give on that question that you just asked, Sean, would be that I think sometimes we as leaders forget to ask the most important question. What is your objective? Sometimes we evaluate people on the wrong objective. Hmm. So, you know, when I'm directing a play, for example, Sean, that the first day that you have to have the script memorized is often a very difficult day for actors. So we do the first many rehearsals with our script in hand. We're learning movement. We're learning the ideas of the play. But at some point, I, as a director, say, all right, lines have to be learned by this date. When that date happens, actors drop their books. When I was a young director, I had tons of notes for each actor about all the nuances that we had worked on, the performance that they weren't doing, that they need to do better. One very smart actor turned to me when I said, so what is your objective in that scene? He turned to me and he said, my objective, Michael, was to get through this play without having to call for a line. All I was working on today was memorizing. And it was, Sean, it was such a helpful thing. There I was evaluating a team on my objective, never checking in what their objective was.
That's great.
And so I notice sometimes we evaluate a speech, what somebody did. We evaluate a presentation, and we've never even asked them, what's your objective? The objective is the key to the structure. And so let's make sure we define objective. It's your desired result. So that actor that said, I'm just trying to get through, his objective was, Michael, leave me alone today. Here's my objective. I want you to sit there and be quiet and let me struggle through the script so that tomorrow, right, the next day, I'm going to be able to give you more. My objective is that you be patient today, sit there, say nothing, and let me struggle through the script. That was the objective. So we call it sometimes the measure of success. No one should ever be surprised when they're fired, Sean, because if we've been clear with them what our objective was, what the structure is, here's the measure of your success. You will accomplish this by this date. That's structure. I give you a deadline. Creative people work better with deadlines. I don't know if I've told you this story. I have this client. His name's Jeff. He's a CEO of one of those companies that provides custodial maintenance for high-rise apartment buildings. Mm-hmm. He's in Kansas City. And this was over a decade ago. He called me and he said, Michael, I'm writing a book about parenting, and I'd like you to write the chapter on communication. I said, Jeff, I'm so flattered. I'd love to do that. He gave me no deadline and no cash advance. Can you guess how many words I've written, Sean?
I can.
Yeah. Audience, like, come on, you guys. You know, I haven't written a single word. 2 years ago, February, one of the top interior designers in New York City called me and said, Michael, I'm getting married in August. The night before I get married, I'm having a rehearsal dinner for 100 out-of-town guests. I'd like to commission you to write a 45-minute musical about me and my husband-to-be to perform at the rehearsal dinner. You play him, find an actor playing me, get a musician. You negotiated a fee. She said, I'm sending you 50% of the money up front and the like three songs on my desk by June 1. Now, Sean, I guarantee
you got it done.
Well, at a quarter to midnight on May 31st, I was typing the last lyric of the last song. Well, but not only did she get a BAFO show in August, but not only did she get the three songs on her desk June 1, but she got that BAFO show in August. So the biggest advice I can give is clarify objectives. Make sure, do not have a meeting if you do not have an objective.
Yep.
I think people have a right not to attend your meeting if you don't announce your objective. What do I need to prepare? How can I be more creative if you don't give me the structure? If I don't know what the objective of the meeting is, how can I appropriately prepare? Did I misunderstand your question, Sean?
No, it's great because it really points to a CEO, an executive has got this problem, whether it's marketing, sales, product, customer service, whatever. They can give these boundaries, right? Here's the problems. But that also points to how you'll know you have solved the problem, right? We'll know we've solved it when we've hit this economic measure, or we'll know we've solved it when you've given me a solution that is in this budget that can be implemented this quickly, that uses these resources. then we'll know that you've solved the problem. So if you just say, we've got a problem, go solve it, you don't know. I mean, whoever's working on this problem doesn't know. And also, what you just said also points me to one of my pet peeves is a meeting, and you and I are both creatives, we're in creative industries. What is the best way for me to get my work done, Michael? It's to invite you to a meeting, and in that meeting say, Michael, I've been presented with this problem. What do you think we should do? And then I invite two or three other people, and I never have to work, right? It's a delegation, assumed delegation. No, I should hold a meeting and say, Michael, here's the problem. Here's how we're going to know when it's solved. I'd like you to come to the meeting. You're going to share your idea. The next person's going to share their idea. I'm not going to ask you to think in the room. Your thinking should have occurred before you came in the room, right? That's the time. You allow that night before is when those good ideas happen. It's in the shower. It's on the weekend when you're taking a bike ride. So solving problems doesn't happen at a given moment, right? It happens in life organically, I believe. That's my experience. Totally.
Shower. I keep a journal by my bedside. And so the greatest marketing directors that I've ever worked with, when I hire them, they say immediately, well, what's your desired result? What do you hope happens? Why are you hiring me? What is it that you desire to have happen? Because how could they work without that structure? That's the superstructure.
And I was in a meeting with Ted Wilkie. He's a SVP of sales. He and I were in a meeting, and before the prospect got on, he just looked me in the eye. He said, how will we know if today's a win? And I looked at Ted and I was like, dang, that's a good question. Why did I not ask that question? And that's the same thing. I mean, we're just keep pointing to the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, love it. So Michael, the last story is another Northeastern Yankee story. And then we should probably wrap up and let these people go to work. Whoa, it's choking you up again.
When you say Northeast Yankee, remember, you lump us all together. And when you say Yankee to Bostonians, I immediately think of the New York Yankees. You know, we are different up here, Sean.
Michael, I've spent a lot of time in Maine. And if you want to talk about what Mainers call Bostonians, we can. But I don't think it's appropriate.
Well, you know where I'm speaking to you from today. You know, I'm on the coast of Maine.
I am
sitting on the coast of Maine.
So good.
And we can say it. We will say it because it's appropriate. Audience, what Sean's talking about is they call us massholes. They call us. So it's a bunch of Massachusetts people who freeload. They go over the line in Maine. And it's on the southern coast of Maine. You see more Massachusetts license plates than Maine. And so, Sean, that is true. That is very, very true.
All good. Well, the Harvard Landscape Architecture crowd did a study around boundaries, and it supports because I share this story not to add any value because I'm not sure it will, but it does give support. It builds a foundation. And if you watch the number 15, lesson number 15, I'm forgetting it, secret weapon number 15, you'll see Michael standing in front of a foundation. And he talks about this. So foundation, we believe at Fitzmartin, where I work, that everything should be rooted in science. And we don't like saying, I like, or I think. I should be able to give you, Michael, a reason for any kind of definitive answer I'm going to offer. You ask me a serious question about business, I can come back with my experiences, my thoughts, etc. But I'm always going to come back with an answer that's structured, boundaries, of behavioral science, and I can tell you why my recommendations will solve a problem based on behavioral science. It's a whole nother conversation for another day. So I wanted to support our conversation today in science. So the Harvard Landscape Architecture crowd, they put playground equipment out on a corner lot in a small town, no fences. And the children, they discovered, played just in the playground equipment. Then they took the same lot, and they put fences, literally fenced that corner lot. And they put another set of children out. Now, where did they play? It's an obvious answer, right? They played corner to corner to corner to corner. It wasn't just around that equipment. So that equipment was safe. They knew a car or another person wouldn't get them there. Then those boundaries gave them freedom to play out to the corners. So my advice to the business leaders is based on science. If you want more, better answers, is that a right sentence? Where's my wife when I need her? If you need more better answers, more gooder answers, right? Hey, I'm from Alabama. More gooder answers. Then give boundaries. The giving those boundaries is not going to constrain the ideas you get. It's going to expand the ideas you get. So we need boundaries, and we need to know when our solutions will meet your criteria. And I think that was your last point, Michael. What do you want to throw in? What did we not ask? What did we not say? Some CEOs they didn't address.
Well, that story you just told about the kids, because, I mean, remember, I started my career as a high school drama teacher, and I really started as grade 7, 8, 9. And so it's your story about the fence is absolutely brilliant and 100% accurate. Think about it, Sean. If I had, my brood, if I had my two youngest, Simon and Maeve, they're 7 and 5 with me right now, and I said, Simon and Maeve, go do something creative while I speak to Sean Doyle. I might get something. Whereas if I said, okay, Simon and Maeve, I'm going to give you each a legal pad, and I'm going to give you a red pen, a blue pen, and a green pen. And by the time the big hand is on the 12 and the little hand's on the 10, I want you to draw a picture of Sean Doyle only using the first page of the legal pad. The second assignment will yield more creative results from the children.
Absolutely.
Why? Because I gave them structure. Now, it's like, what's so great about what you're saying, Sean, is that subtextually, people resist the idea of structure because it sounds like boundary means limit. And do you know Jabez? How New Testament-y are you?
Sure. I'm there. I'm with you.
All right. So Jabez, he's one of my favorite characters. So those of you who don't know Jabez, he's in Chronicles. And I'm going to give you the Michael version of Chronicles. God says, Jabez goes to God and says, oh, I'm a nobody, God. I just need to be your humble servant. God says, shut up. Stop whining. Go expand your territory. You must expand your territory so that you have bigger influence. So structure, you don't need to think of it as restrictive. You think of it as a creating of the territory. So you can expand your territory, but you got to have a territory to start with. Right. And why the Jabez God dialogue is important is that, God tells Jabez, have an objective. Your objective is to get more people in the fold. So that structure can liberate Jabez to go do what his calling is. And so what's your calling? Why are you on this earth? You've got to find out your objective. That's your structure. And then it liberates you to a creative use of tactics in any given day. A guy in Philly got this. We go from Jabez to a guy in Philly, in one paragraph, Sean, CEO of a concrete company. He said, Michael, you can't build something unless you got a foundation, right? Right. See, occasionally we people up here have half a brain. So just give us credit for something. Sean, I loved your story. You told that so beautifully. I'm inspired by that.
Thank you for bringing in theological inference as well. That's so strong. That's a great foundation. Scripture, the Bible, that's the foundation.
Yes.
So fabulous.
Yes. Think about a good homily on Sunday. How that inspires you. If the preacher gives you that structure, how that one germ of an idea, the preacher knows, because I coach clergy, they are tough because they want to be amoebas. No, for me, the best clergy give me that one clear objective, that germ of the idea.
Yep.
Use scripture as a tactic to get me to go do that thing. And now I'm a man of action.
Fabulous. Michael, you've been generous with your time, with your ideas, with your accents, with your singing. I'm going to try to sing for you too. So that's it. I'm not singing ever again. Michael, thank you so much for being on Aligned. We appreciate you.
Should old acquaintance be forgot? Keep your eye on the grand old flag. Happy Flag Day, everybody.
Goodbye.